The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, Simon, today the Ministry of Health added another death to its COVID-19 recording, but also said it was a case subject to a police investigation that's ongoing. Now, One News understands that this is in relation to Operation Metals, a homicide investigation launched after a man named Robert Hart sustained serious gunshot injuries outside a Newland motel last week, and he died despite first aid attempts. Now, since his death, health authorities say he tested positive for COVID-19, and One News understands that several people are also isolating. So then you have to ask how someone who sustained these types of injuries and then died ends up as part of our COVID-19 death tally. Now, the Ministry of Health says that's because under the World Health Organization guidelines, anyone who dies while also having an acute COVID-19 infection is recorded as part of a nation's death tally, whatever the cause of death might be.
I'm not making this up. You heard it for yourself. Straight from New Zealand, there's a reporter. He's asking a couple of good questions there. But this is straight news. Straight news. You remember the joke, the social media meme that was going around last year? The skydiver whose parachute wouldn't open? Another COVID death. And now it was a big joke last year because they were counting everybody as COVID deaths. And now you've got someone shot dead with a gun, with a firearm. And the health officials in New Zealand assure you that, well, this is just the way we're supposed to count it. Yeah, he's yet another victim of COVID-19. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live stream of the audio version of this show every day at our broadcast partners network, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. And if you'd like to get to the video of this broadcast, that's offered exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com every day at the starting time, and you get the big banner that tells you it's about to start. Or go to thetrumpet.com/live. And that takes you to the live stream page and also to the page that has all of the podcasts so that you can listen to them on demand. So lots and lots to get to on today's program. Quite a lot of material piling up on COVID-19, the never-ending story. What is it, day 605? Chris Eames is he's the one that keeps track. He keeps a daily count. 605 days to just slow the spread. And now you've got all these vaccine mandates. You've got people still just adding all kinds of crazy deaths, in some cases, to the COVID count. And then you've got the vaccine side effects, the deadly side effects in some cases. And then the all-out propaganda war, really. You got the Pfizer guy, the CEO, he's making appearances every day. He's like the new Fauci. He's out. Of course he's saying, yeah, this is going to be a booster shot every year from here on out. So says the guy that's producing the shots and that's making billions and billions of dollars. Yesterday, there was a report, not yesterday, earlier this week. This is from Toby Young. It says the Italian Higher Institute of Health had adjusted downwards its estimate of the number of people who've died from COVID. This is Italy. Remember, this is where this is where it all started, basically. That's what triggered the worldwide panic. The number that have died from COVID as opposed to with COVID from over 130,000 to under 4,000. And Toby Young says, yes, you read that right. Turns out 97.1% of deaths hitherto attributed to COVID were not due directly to COVID. And then he gives a link to the original article in Italy. But yet here come the health officials still saying, well, hey, this is how we're supposed to count them. Now, when it's vaccine-related deaths, it's a very different formula. There's a very different way that we go about counting. In fact, we don't even count them. You're going to be seeing a lot more news stories, as a few of us have discussed around here, of people that died, from a sudden illness, and then there's no other facts. You know, one of the band members for UB40. I got a link the other day, a doctor who was, he was pro, he had just gotten the third one, the third jab, the booster. He died. Another one of a famous chef in his 40s died of a heart attack. And then I told you earlier this week of all the sports stars across Europe and that story coming out of Germany saying, yeah, we're getting a lot of footballers. They're just keeling over. Blood clots, heart attacks. Are you going to get the truth? When you've got a reporter getting up with a straight face saying, this guy was shot dead, add that to the COVID tally. You think you're going to get the truth in that kind of an environment with propaganda that strong? Every day it's just relentless. Relentless. There's this update here. This is at Alex Berenson's website. An interview, I guess this is the big German health official. And he says here, Germany, by the way, 50,000 new cases of COVID yesterday. Look at that chart. Look at this chart. It's the most since the start of the pandemic, by far. And Germany, I mean, they're almost right up there with Israel, the number of people that have been vaccinated. 50,000 new cases. Forget about the side effects for a moment. The vaccine just... pure and simple, it doesn't work. I think Bill Gates admitted it the other day. Yeah, we need to get a vaccine that really stamps this out. I thought we already had one. No, we don't. 50,000 cases? And now you've got people in the Netherlands and Germany and in Austria. They're wanting to impose new lockdowns. Austria wants to key in on the unvaccinated. But there's other nations like the Netherlands that say, no, it's got to be everybody. This is quoting the top German health official. Right now, there's a narrative I think is completely false, he says. The pandemic of the unvaccinated. We don't have a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We have a pandemic. We have a pandemic, he says. And he goes on to talk about how that people over 60, we've only got 86% of them vaccinated. Only? That's almost all of them. I guess it's not enough for him. We got to get those other 14%. But how do you explain, and looking at the chart, how do you explain 50,000 new cases just yesterday? It's worse than at any time last summer. And the vaccine is supposed to solve all of this? All these Western nations, they've been getting vaccinated from the very beginning. This is not a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It's a pandemic, and it's one that's not killing a lot of people, to be honest, to be truthful. At least they're not dying directly from the COVID. It's usually COVID with a lot of other problems, but you don't get that from the news media. You just get a short little report coming out of Italy. Yeah, those that actually died just from COVID, about 4,000. And then as far as the pandemic of the unvaccinated, well, if you just listen to the communists here in the United States and then their allies in the media, you're convinced. You're convinced that only the unvaccinated are catching the virus. Only the unvaccinated are dying. And that's not true. Listen to this montage, clip 3.
A clear message that is coming through. This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
And almost entirely the victims will be unvaccinated Americans?
Well, yes.
It is time to blame the unvaccinated.
While COVID-19 cases are rising, virtually all of the COVID deaths and hospitalizations are from unvaccinated people.
It's just obvious. If the unvaccinated are not to blame, who is?
This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Virtually all hospitalizations and deaths are occurring among unvaccinated Americans.
The vaccines prevent serious illness. The vaccines keep you out of the hospital.
I know I've said that constantly, and others have as well. The vaccination of the unvaccinated, you know, and it's needless, taking a needless toll on our country.
This is now a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It is now a pandemic of choice. The choice not to get vaccinated.
So this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
It's really an outbreak among the unvaccinated.
We have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated.
Really unfortunate that the vaccinated people are paying a price for the actions of the unvaccinated.
The unvaccinated are prolonging this pandemic. The unvaccinated are accelerating this pandemic.
What more do you need to see? You've been patient. But our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
Yeah, well, look at what's happening in Germany, or Austria, or the Netherlands, all these nations that have had a lot of people vaccinated. I mean, the United States has, too. But there they go on and on. It prevents serious illness. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, COVID-19 vaccines and myocarditis link probed by researchers. There's a link here between myocarditis and the vaccine, and they're probing into this. Wouldn't you want to do this before you made it mandatory? The probe, I mean. They're probing into this disturbing connection now. And the vaccines they've been out there for months, almost a year. And you get the communists in the media saying, you've got to take it or you lose your job. And there's a record number of people quitting their jobs, by the way. That's great for the economy, right? No, not at all. And then we're coming into, as I covered on Wednesday, the skyrocketing inflation, coming into the colder winter months, rising fuel costs. It's a perfect storm. The journal says here, researchers aren't certain why the RNA vaccines, one from Pfizer and partner BioNTech, and the other from Moderna, are likely causing the inflammatory heart conditions, myocarditis and pericarditis, in a small number of cases. Some theories center on the type of spike protein that a person makes in response to the RNA vaccines. It says the mRNA itself, or other components of the vaccines, researchers say, could also be setting off certain inflammatory responses in some people. One new theory under examination, improper injections of the vaccine directly into the vein, which sends the vaccine to the heart muscle. This is a conservative treehouse, their take. Vaccine makers and U.S. healthcare officials are now attempting to find out why the mRNA vaccines are creating adverse events and heart conditions in healthy people. Why are healthy people getting sick? Why are healthy people suffering from blood clots, heart attacks, brain hemorrhages? Why are healthy people getting, and why are young people getting paralyzed soon after they get the jab? The journal says here, yet there may be similarities between the spike protein and proteins found in the heart muscle, prompting the body's immune defenses to mobilize against the heart. So they're trying to figure this out. I mean, this is serious. Heart problems in young people? They're starting a probe. They're starting to look into it. This is not some obscure website reporting this. This is the Wall Street Journal. Wow. It says here, the shots are supposed to be injected into the shoulder muscle, also known as the deltoid muscle. If the injection accidentally reaches a vein, it could lead to delivery of some of the vaccine to the heart through blood vessels. Hong Kong researchers found that injecting mice intravenously with the Pfizer vaccine induced both myocarditis and pericarditis in the animals, according to results published in August. So they're finding all of this out just as they go. It's totally an experiment on human beings by the hundreds of millions around the world. But don't worry, because they've launched a probe into these disturbing connections between the vaccine and heart attacks. Listen to Raymond Arroyo. He was on Fox News the other night, clip six.
27%, Laura, of parents do not want to vaccinate their children 5 to 11. You can see why. I mean, the myocarditis is a reality. Children have died from this vaccine.
That's right. Children have died from this vaccine. And yet you just heard the montage earlier. This is what prevents serious illness, this vaccine. And if you're not vaccinated, you're prolonging the pandemic. This is not a pandemic of the unvaccinated. This is a pandemic. And now you've got all of these mutant strains, these variants, and they're just working their way around this so-called vaccine, this experimental drug, gene therapy, spike protein, whatever you want to call it, experimenting on other human beings, on little children even, little children. Listen to this testimony from an orthopedic surgeon from Wisconsin, clip seven.
Approximately 1 week later, I recognized that my feet were numb, a sensation of pins and needles. I also began having powerful electrical shock sensations. I was sitting in a clinic room at work talking with a patient. I attempted just simply to stand from a sitting position. I couldn't stand. I pushed myself up with my arms, then quickly fell backwards. Later that day, I had MRIs of my thoracic and lumbar spine. I soon saw a neurologist, actually 2 to 3 days later, who diagnosed me with transverse myelitis, a rare condition that involves a demyelinated lesion of my thoracic spinal cord. My life has dramatically changed after this adverse reaction. My career of 19 years, that I took almost 14 years to train for is likely over.
This after he got the Moderna vaccine. His career is likely over. All these complications from the shot, the jab, just like that police officer in Colorado. But listen, don't worry. I mean, they're probing. They're looking into this. They'll figure out. What are historians going to write about this? Assuming time were to go on and Christ's return isn't around the corner, what would they write 10, 20, 30 years from now? You have all of these cases. I gave you this story from the Daily Express in the UK. The COVID scandal, excess deaths at home soar past 65,000 in just 18 months. Now, that's not all directly related to the vaccine, I'm sure. There's other side effects brought on by the lockdowns. But all these excess deaths, and they're not even related to COVID. Listen to this from a press conference down in Australia. This is clip eight.
Look, our hospitals are under enormous pressure. This is the same in Tasmania, South Australia, New South Wales, Queensland, and Victoria. Enormous pressure. This has been something no one has ever seen before, the growth in demand in our hospitals. Why it is hard to know, except that there is some evidence that some sort of delayed reaction to COVID, but there is huge numbers of people coming through the doors. So we're doing everything we can to try and manage it.
So many mysteries. Australia, heavily vaxxed, and yet they can't keep up with the demand. People are showing up, and as he says there, we don't quite know why. We assume it's some delayed reaction to the COVID. Could it be related to the vaccine? Could it be related to the oppressive lockdowns? No, not at all. Can't be that. Those are perfect. I mean, health officials have imposed that upon us, so they can't be wrong. Pfizer, as I said, you've got the CEO out every other day, it seems. This is from the BMJ on the vaccine. It kind of coincides with that report from Project Veritas, you know, the whistleblower that came forward and basically exposed the sham surrounding these clinical trials, the testing that they put it through before they just unleashed it on the general public. This guy is I have his name here somewhere, but he worked at this place called Ventavia, where they conducted the clinical trials for Pfizer. This is reported in the British Medical Association publication. Again, you're probably not going to get this in the United States. Got to cover it up. Got to blot it out. It says here, but for researchers who were testing Pfizer's vaccine at several sites in Texas during the autumn, speed may have come at the cost of data integrity and patient safety. A regional director who was employed at the research organization Ventavia told the BMJ that the company falsified data, unblinded patients, employed inadequately trained vaccinators, and was slow to follow up on adverse events reported in Pfizer's pivotal phase 3 trial. Why would they do this? Well, because it's Pfizer. You see, it's all handled internally. And all that you need to know, you know, you, the sheeple, all that you need to know is that the Pfizer CEO says it's perfect. Everything's working out perfectly. All that you need to know is what CNN is telling you. This will protect you from serious illness. This will save your life. It says here in, well, I don't even have time to get into it all, but basically because of this report, there's a Swedish over in Sweden, because of this revelation in the journal, they came out and said, hey, we've got to pull back on this vaccination push. That's Sweden, who didn't have any lockdowns from the beginning. And nobody in the United States, no health officials will look to them or the incredibly astronomically high rates of infections in Germany going on right now, even after all these vaccinations. If you're supposed to follow the science, well, then let's look at it. The Pfizer CEO, he came out earlier this week or over the weekend to say that, yeah, you definitely need to get the jab, and then we're looking at probably having to do this every single year. This is clip 9.
I think the booster shot, the third dose, is the one that gives very, very high level of protection, higher than the original achieved levels of protection, which was 95% with the two doses. The question is, how long will it last? And we know that we saw a waning of immunity 6 months after the second dose. We need to follow up for 6, 7, 8, 9 months of the booster dose. If I can take a prediction, because we have seen this type of vaccination curves multiple times and the immunogenicity curves, it looks like that it will last for a year. It looks like that there is a chance that this will become an annual revaccination.
Of course, it'll be an annual thing now. $30-40 a pop, even if the government pays for it. These guys are making money hand over fist. And so they're out there. It's an all-out propaganda war, the way that they see it. Because there's people that are blowing the whistle on the sham trials. There's statistics coming back in. The Wall Street Journal piece, myocarditis, what's the link? Well, we're going to probe into that. Listen to this same CEO talk about those that are out there spreading misinformation. And if you listen to this soundbite, he says he's getting reports and insights from the FBI and the DOJ. Where do you think this is leading? This is clip 10.
Particularly with us, we were targeted by a lot of, dark organizations that you don't really know the ownership. You suspect that there are some countries behind. We were getting a lot of briefings from CIA, from FBI about attacks that may happen to us, cyber attacks, I mean, but also about the spread of misinformation. But there is a very small part of professionals which they circulate on purpose misinformation so that they will mislead those that they have concerned. Those people are criminals. They're not bad people. They're criminals because they literally costed millions of lives.
And should be treated as criminals as well.
And there's the interview, of course. Right, he's right on board with it. We got to go after them. We've got to target these criminals that would dare spread misinformation. As I say, where do you suppose this is leading? I mean, the spirit of this, guilty in the court of public opinion. You see it with the Rittenhouse trial. I'll come back to that after the break. Briefly, before we get to our Bible study, so satanic. The accuser of our brethren, just accusation after accusation. If you dare say anything, anything that would criticize this drug, this experimental drug, well, that's if you're an expert, if you're someone with some bit of notoriety or prominence, you're a criminal. And he's getting briefings, he says, from the CIA and the FBI. And we know something about the DOJ and who they think the criminals are in our society. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a Bible study. And then also, I haven't talked about it much this week, but we're nearing the end of this Kyle Rittenhouse trial. And there they are, the propagandists in the media, doing everything that they can to trigger a race war. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Kenosha shooter, Kyle Rittenhouse, he murdered two people, by the way.
Rittenhouse is basically what you would have had in a school shooter. He's a 17-year-old kid. He shouldn't have had a gun. He crossed state lines to supposedly protect property. No, he was going out to shoot people.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old vigilante.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the vigilante.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the armed teenage vigilante.
A 17-year-old vigilante, arguably a domestic terrorist, picked up a rifle, drove to a different state to shoot people.
Kyle Rittenhouse. A guy who's deeply racist went with weapons to a Black Lives Matter protest looking to get in trouble. He did. He murdered a couple of people.
Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old kid, just running around, shooting and killing protesters.
You see, the 17-year-old who was radicalized by Trumpism took his AR-15 to Kenosha and became a killer.
A white, Trump-supporting, MAGA-loving, Blue Lives Matter social media partisan, 17 years old, picks up a gun, drives from one state to another with the intent to shoot people.
A 17-year-old boy who drove across state lines with an AR-15 and started shooting people up, including a guy with a skateboard.
Kyle Rittenhouse, who has killed protesters, unarmed protesters.
Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old that went with a weapon into the middle of protests and then provoked people and then shot and killed them.
Kyle Rittenhouse is the enemy.
A boy from out of state drives up to the state with an AR-15 around his neck, shoots
right
and kills a couple of people. Shooting wildly, running around, acting like Rent-A-Cop.
Drove across state lines armed with a rifle to go and shoot people.
What a dark dystopian scene where a 17-year-old boy is carrying around a rifle, running around and gunning down protesters.
That's just a small sampling of how the propagandists in the media reacted to that deadly shooting at the Kenosha. Never mind the thugs burning down the city of Kenosha. In response to a lie, by the way, a lie about Jacob Blake, but leave that aside too. And never mind that this shooter, Rittenhouse, was coming under fire himself. He was being attacked. His life was threatened. The child rapist who said he was going to kill him ambushed him later in the evening. And then he's shot dead. How strange is it to listen to the court proceedings this past week and to hear everyone referring to Mr. Rosenbaum and Mr. Rosenbaum's parents that must be grieving over Mr. Rosenbaum's death. Mr. Rosenbaum raped children, little boys, and threatened Kyle Rittenhouse's life. But you would never know it. They get all the facts wrong. They rushed a judgment. The state attorney's office says in 48 hours, yeah, we're going for murder. They didn't even investigate it themselves. All these communists in government, all these communists in the media. And then he finally gets his day in court. And it's looking like, anyway, the jury is, of course, being threatened to be doxxed. Their lives are coming under fire if they do give an acquittal. But it's just been a dreadful case, a laughable case for the prosecutors. As you've got prosecutors bringing the witnesses forward to supposedly say this boy's a murderer, and the witnesses themselves say things that make it obvious he was firing in self-defense. One of them admitted to pointing his own gun at Rittenhouse. Before then, he was shot in the arm. So it finally gets to trial. It doesn't go the way that all these communists and the media think that it should. And so then here's how they cover it this week. This is clip two.
If Kyle Rittenhouse had been a black guy, had gone up with an AR-15 around his neck and talked to police officers, they wouldn't have been treated him the way they treated Kyle Rittenhouse.
Of a biased, racist judge with his Trump rally cell phone that is trying to get Rittenhouse a walk. Yeah, so that trial is going a little bit better, in part because the judge isn't so clearly biased towards the white murderers in that case.
Now, Trayvon Martin, who didn't get the benefit or grace of his youth. We see Tamir Rice, who didn't get the benefit or grace of his youth. And these individuals, none of them who look like me, did not get the benefit or grace of their youth. And people are treating Kyle Rittenhouse as some youthful individual who made a youthful mistake.
Imagine if Kyle Rittenhouse was an 18 or 17-year-old black kid.
Well, that's a different issue. What
with a gun.
That? Talk about that.
Right. How would people feel? How would the judge treat him? Well, how would pundits think about this case? If a black kid did that, killed two people and injured another person, how would America feel about
that? I want to know why critical race theory exists. The actual law school theory that emphasizes that supposedly colorblind laws in America often still have racially discriminatory outcomes. Then look no further than the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse.
I thought last week critical race theory didn't exist. Now she says, well, this is why it exists. It's because of Kyle Rittenhouse, the white supremacist. It's not going the way they want. And so, of course, there they are fanning the flames of hate, hoping, probably praying as well, for a riot. And as if right on cue, Antifa, BLM, they're already threatening Kenosha, Chicago. This is what they want. They talk about how different it would be if he was a black shooter. Well, how many of the black shooters in all those riots last summer? I haven't heard about the trial of David Dorn, his killer. Is he in jail? Was there a trial that everyone was aware of or that was following closely? These people are delusional. Worse than that, demonic. Just in watching it, you know, it used to be over in the UK, I'd just get the little snippets because I couldn't actually watch 15, 20 minutes of MSNBC. Now that I'm here in the States, I can see it. I can see it for a little more context, and it is horrible. It's worse than the clips even suggest. The whole tone of their programs, their broadcasts, it's hate. It's Donald Trump supporters are white supremacists and terrorists. And of course, this teenager, now 18, he's a terrorist. He's a white supremacist. The three people shot are white. The shooter is white. And they make this about race. Brought to you by the propagandists in the media. So much deception. So many lies. Here's a case that actually has nothing whatever to do with race. You want to talk about the supposed white privilege of this young man? What about the whites that were there in that riot, burning down the city of Kenosha, burning down businesses? And then business owners coming, Rittenhouse came back in to try to clean up the graffiti, to try to protect the businesses of Kenosha. And yet you've got all these prominent voices, including LeBron James, mocking this young man and his emotion during the trial, during his testimony. I guess it was on Wednesday. Well, what do these people want? Do they just want to let the thugs go through the city and destroy it? Do they want these child rapists just roaming the streets, threatening people's lives? I guess that's what they want. Do they want mobs to tear down cities because they've been lied to about Jacob Blake or whoever else? I guess they do. I guess many of them believe the lies. I was saying to the students yesterday, well, maybe I can just squeeze in this one last bit, but this is a similar kind of derangement. Here's this new mayor that's voted in New York City, and he's a former police chief, so he's coming in, and everyone's hoping that he cracks down on the crime. And listen to what this Black Lives Matter leader has to say on just the prospect that they might crack down on criminals. Clip 5.
If they think that they're going to go back to the old ways of policing, then we are going to take to the streets again. There will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed. So there's no way that we are going to let some Gestapo come in here and harm our people. Right?
Yeah, there will be riots, bloodshed, and we'll just tear down the city. How's he not in jail? How's he not in jail? I heard Joe Scarborough and his roundtable go on and on Monday or Tuesday morning about these 13 Republicans that voted with Nancy Pelosi to ram through that $1 trillion bill last weekend, late Friday night, early Saturday morning. And in listening to Joe Scarborough, I learned that those Republicans are in danger because Trump supporters are calling their offices saying, don't vote for that legislation. They're in danger now. And here this man is right out on the streets. He's saying it in front of a TV camera. If you uphold the law in this city, it's going to go up in flames. There will be rioting. There will be bloodshed, he said. He said it on TV. Is he in jail? Is LeBron James going to tweet about that man's statement? Is he going to mock him? Or just say, hey, let's tamp down the rhetoric here. We don't want to see more rioting. In truth, so many of them do. They love the left-wing rioting. They love the left-wing violence. They love the left-wing bloodshed even. And now what are they going to do if Kyle Rittenhouse is acquitted? Well, we'll see this weekend or maybe early next week. But yet another opportunity for these criminals who fancy themselves as reporters, as journalists, yet another opportunity for them to inflame hatred, to stir up strife, to encourage rioting and bloodshed. I was telling the students just yesterday, because of this world that we're living in, it really and truly is Sodom and Gomorrah. That was a dangerous and perverse society. And yet, even Lot's family, they needed some prodding just to get out and to save their lives. God wants us to come out of this world, and he gives us, as I said in the program the other day, thanks to Richard Palmer, by the way, for filling in on the show yesterday, but day before yesterday, I talked about the transcendental goal that God gives to us, and how that he wants us to set our sights, our mind's eye on our incredible human potential, our future. He gives us the goal, and then he says, all right, here's how you go about attaining it. Purify yourselves. Obey the commandments. Come out of sin. Repent toward God. My father says in the Last Hour book, if you see a church or a family bogging down, this is where to look for the source of the problem. If you see them bogging down, it's because they lack vision. It's because they've lost the vision. My father says, you can't hammer at the law with people who lack vision. John taught the God family vision first. So we really have to see what it is that God sees. We have to see what we're to become, as I read through last time, 1 John 3. Where it speaks of Christ, and when he comes back, we're going to see him. We're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is and be just like him. That's 1 John 3. Look at 1 John 1 and verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. John was trying to make God real. He was trying to help his readers understand that, look, I was with him there. I handled him. I broke bread with him. I saw him. I heard him. God in the flesh. Verse 2, it says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, it says, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. My father has said that John's goal here was to show us eternal life, to make it real for us, so that we could see it, so that we could set our hearts on that future. Where there is no vision, the people perish. They perish. So many of God's people, the Laodicean Christians, they are perishing, as 1 Thessalonians 2 says, in large part because they lack vision. They don't love the truth. They've fallen away from this precious, precious calling of ours. This is from the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong. If you don't have a copy of it, I don't have one here with me, but if you'd like a free copy of that wonderful book, just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024, and request Herbert W. Armstrong's autobiography. This is from page 434. It says, it is true that where there is no vision, the people perish, but few people realize that the source of true vision is God. There has been vision behind the planning and phenomenal growth of this great work. But this is the work of God, not of man. And the vision and the planning has been that of Jesus Christ, the active living head of this work, not of man. So it was Christ out front, leading the way. Those Laodicean leaders following Herbert Armstrong's death, by the way, they looked back on that history. Those small beginnings with Herbert Armstrong in Northwest Oregon back in the 1930s and early 40s. They looked upon that history with disdain. All that history that's discussed in the autobiography. And yet look at the phenomenal growth and development of that work. Starting first in Little Lane County, Oregon, and then spreading, as Mr. Armstrong said, and spreading over to Portland and then all of the Northwest. And then eventually the West Coast of the United States. And then all of the U.S. And then finally all over the world. That took some vision. And as Mr. Armstrong said in that quote I just gave you, well, he didn't even take credit for that vision. He says it's God's vision. It was Christ leading the way. God is the source of true vision. And so we've got to go to God for that, and we've got to delve into His Word and really feed on the Word of God. Hunger for God's truth. Jesus said to hunger and thirst for it. So many verses. I've been noticing that in another study of mine, but so many verses that talk about spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. God will satisfy that hungry desire, that thirst for knowledge and for truth, if we'll just go to Him and to His Word and consume it. He'll really fill us up on His truth. Notice this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." God has prepared so much for us, and if we love it enough to grab hold of it and to hold on to it, He'll just open our minds to the riches and depths of His glorious plan and purpose. Even with God's Spirit, even with God living in our minds, we still have to really work hard. My father said in from the beginning, the booklet, how that even as he was writing that booklet, he really had to strain mentally to grasp the truth of God, the purpose, the plan of God. But what a spectacular vision it is. When we get to the real depth of it, verse 10, it says, "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things." Yes, the deep things of God. We can get into the deep things of God if we're led by the Spirit. Romans 2 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God." You know, as I was telling my principal students the other day, there's a lot of people in this world convinced that they're true Christians, that they're converted. But the Bible definition of a Christian is one who is led by the Spirit of God. One who has the Spirit of God dwelling in them. You can see all of that in Romans 8. There's millions upon millions of people in this world today that are not being led by the Spirit and therefore are not Christians, even if they might think of themselves as Christians. They're Christians in name only. There's a lot of, if you haven't noticed, well, if you watch this program, you have noticed, there's lots of fakery and phoniness in the world today, including in the world of Christianity as well. That's why we constantly point you to the Bible. Some of you old-timers can remember Mr. Armstrong pounding away at the podium, saying, "Don't believe me, believe the Bible. What does the Bible say?" Verse 11, it says, "For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." You look at a human being equipped with the Spirit in man and see how that sets us apart from the beasts of the field, that don't have a human spirit, that can't think and reason, that can't appreciate fine culture or a fine concert like we heard here in Edmond last night, the Romero family. Beautiful concert. Beautiful sounds coming out of Armstrong Auditorium. Sounds that we could appreciate, that we could enjoy. They can't do that in the animal kingdom. It's because they don't have a human spirit. They don't have the ability to think and to reason. We do. And when you see, Mr. Armstrong used to say, when you see the vast gap between animals and man, well, it's a similar sized gap between man and God. Man with a human spirit, but not the Spirit of God. But when you receive the Spirit of God, your mind is opened to God's truth, to God's plan, to be able to think like God thinks. Now, that's a tremendous miracle. And it's brought on by, well, after repentance and faith and baptism and the laying on of hands, and then the receipt of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, verse 38. And when the Spirit comes into our minds, well, then our minds are open to the riches and depths of God's glory. That's awesome. And we need that in a world filled with darkness and evil, all kinds of perversions, and lots of dangers as well. What a dangerous world. A leader of a movement can just walk up in front of a camera and says to the law enforcement official over the city, hey, if you crack down on law breaking, if you crack down on lawlessness, we're going to burn your city down. There's going to be bloodshed. Is this God's world? This is not God's world. This is the devil's world. The devil is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. God wants us to set our sights on another world. That's what his church is today. And there's just the one. Christ didn't come to establish a church and then tell it, yeah, go ahead and split off into 500-600 denominations, all competing with one another with different doctrines and teachings, different teachers. Something for everyone. Does that make sense to you? Is that what Jesus came to establish? A world filled with religious confusion? Jesus came to establish God's true church. And that church has been largely scattered and on the run now for 2,000 years. Here in these last days, God's given us, thanks to the blessings upon Manasseh in particular, but he's given us a platform, he's given us relative safety and peace, but persecution is coming, and God wants us to prepare for that. We're going to have to get ready for the final explosion of events to occur just before the return of Jesus Christ, and God's going to have to intervene to save us, to save and protect the church, to save and protect even the world. If you look at Matthew 24, 21, and 22, God has to intervene or we just wipe out humanity. That's what Christ prophesied. But then after that, the establishment of God's world, God's new world, the wonderful world tomorrow on this earth, That's a vision, a beautiful vision at that, that we need to set our minds on daily. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to call our operators to request any of our literature, that's 1-866-930-3024. Request The Wonderful World Tomorrow book, by the way. That would be an excellent study and an excellent help to set our minds on the things above. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.